Now this is the turn of Lucas Parker, who is master's student at Ryerson University.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for letting me present today. So what I want to talk about is I just want to talk about a little bit of research that we are going to start conducting, as well as what we have started to gather a little bit of information on preliminary steps. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a little bit of information on what we're doing, and then from a high-level view of what I've seen so far. But again, this is at the start. So what we're doing is we're taking a cross-jurisdictional view of four different areas. Three of them are pretty similar, and the one is the not as similar. So what we're looking at is privacy, misleading advertising, and telecommunications across four different jurisdictions. So that would be the U.S., Canada, Australia, and U.K. And the fourth topic, which is just related to trademark and passing off. So we're looking at passing off within U.S. and Canada. So it's a little bit off to the side, but we will address it as we go through. And one of the reasons why we're looking at this is that there's actually a couple things that are insightful when you look at something from cross-jurisdictional impact. So one of the things is that you can use it like a test lab, right? So people are already putting these regimes in place. So they have these different tools that are in place, so legislation, as well as voluntary codes, or other state actors or voluntary actors that are enacting this, that are using for similar issues across different jurisdictions. And then the second thing is that it could be transferable. So you can compare those issues and say, does this issue exist in Canada? It exists in Australia. What are they doing? Is it something that's effective, and can it be employed here? Sorry. So what I want to start with is just a little bit of a roadmap for what we're going to talk about. So the preliminary points, so the status and the nature of the research and what we're doing. And the reason that I want to talk about that is just to let you know and give a foundation for where we are within this research, so that when we are making, or when I am making statements, that you know that this is generalization. So I'm just gathering all of the information at the data collection stage right now, looking at things and trying to provide some generalization. But I will be working through, or we will be working through those as we go along. So then, like I said, I'm going to outline some preliminary multi-jurisdictional comparative discussions on those three. And then the last is consumer protection. I will note right now that we are going to go through two of them first. So we're going to go through the misleading advertising, as well as we're going to go through privacy. And telecommunications would be left to the end. And the reason for that is that actually at the 2014 workshop, Paul Goodrick, another Ryerson's master's student, he actually presented a comparative analysis of this information, so I want to leave it to the end and get to it if I have the time to get to it. Okay. And so what I want to do is, like I said, is we want to look at the multi-jurisdictional impact of these types of things, and we're only going to be focusing on the national level, right? So I know that within Canada we have a lot of complex laws at the provincial level, as well as in the UK, Australia, and the US at the state level. So right now, from my research, I am only looking at the federal, the highest level. And then the way that we're looking at regime is actually not the standard approach of the state actor only, as well as the legislation and the rules. So what we're using is actually, I'm actually using Webb's sustainable governance approach, which he published in a chapter in 2005. And so what that sustainable governance is that there's a multitude of actors that actually influence the behavior or the regime around the regulatory regime. So state and legislation is the primary actor, right? So it all is being regulated, but there are other actors like private sector as well as the civil society that do enact rules or influence the way that the behavior is being done or the way that they're controlling that behavior. So we are going to be looking at that. And I wanted to give an initial example of that. So PIAC, they're actually doing a comparison from the CCTS to an airline code. So they're putting out this information, and it's a civil society actor that's helping to draft the way that the regulatory environment is occurring either on the telecommunications side or the airline sector. All right? And then I gave another couple of examples within here is the Ombudsman for the Banking Industry, as well as in the U.S. there is the National Advertising Division within of the Better Business Bureau that does support the FTC decisions, as well as does some communication. And I'll get a little bit I'll talk about that a little bit later. All right. So the first thing that I wanted to talk about is misleading advertising. So what you're going to see in each slide, and I didn't provide it with a lot of words, is you're going to see a lot of just diagrams on how the actual regime looks to me when I'm gathering all of this information, just to give you a picture of all the different types of things that are happening, right? So you're going to see something along the side of the state, the civil actors, as well as private sector. Again, like I said, a lot of this information is in flux. So I'm gathering this information and trying to figure out where these pieces fit in. So you may see some things that look not in the right place, but that's because I'm trying to figure out where they fit. Maybe they are an industrial body, but they're funded by the government or something along those lines. So they're not quite within one area, right? So I'm trying to pull these pictures together. So for misleading advertising, I can draw a few generalizations on what I've seen so far. And so for the first generalization that I do find is that within UK and Australia, and as well as within the US, they do seem to use a lot of interaction between the non-state actors, so private sector actors, as well as the state actors. And what I mean by that is, so for an example, the Better Business Bureau, if they are pulling together any information on complaints or a systematic approach to complaints, they will take that information and hand it over to the FTC because they have an MOU with them. Right, so we have the similar case within Australia and the UK. Well, they will hand over that information to the regulatory bodies because they have an MOU with them. From my initial assessment, I haven't seen anything like that within Canada within the advertising standards. So that seems to be one of the biggest things that I've seen with misleading advertising. Another thing that I did see with this is that all of them are using a form of industrial codes, right? But the scope of what they're doing with those industrial codes, most of them are voluntary, but Australia seems to be leading the way in the amount of codes that they have and the amount of signatories that they have on par with those codes. All right, so the next one is privacy protection. So again, we're going to be looking at the four different jurisdictions. I'm going to give you a little bit of generalizations, show you a little bit about how the actual map is kind of looking to date in my research. So the few generalizations that I can make right now is within Australia and Canada, they seem to be using a similar approach with a principle-based approach. So they both outline different principle-based rule systems that they're utilizing. One thing to note within Canada is that actually derived from a civil actor within the CSA privacy standards that went and moved over to legislation. So that does show, again, the interaction between something on the civil society side and the state actors, right? So on the side of that, then we also see the opposite side is that the U.S. does not have anything along the lines of actual privacy legislation. So from what I found, they don't have one distinct piece of legislation that outlines privacy the way that Canada or Australia does, or even the U.K. And even on the U.K. side, they seem to be more of a legislative side or on the state actor side. From the U.S. side of things, it seems to be that, at least in all areas, but on the U.S. side, it seems to be led from civil litigation as well as civil actors. So I would try to move through this quickly. So the next one is passing off. So I'll give a little bit of definition about passing off just to make sure that everybody's on the same plane. So it's making some false representation likely to induce a person to believe that goods or services are those of another. It's when somebody is trying to pass off a mark of somebody else as their own in relation. So there's usually two or three things that I found when comparing U.S. and Canada that seems to be similar in the basis of finding passing off. So it's the existence of goodwill, deception to the end, as well as actual or perceived harm. Right. So I did find that is comparative between the two jurisdictions. But again, the way that we're looking at this is we're actually looking at this, the comparative approaches to consumer research. So after I took all of that starting point, we want to look at how is consumer research used within the state of passing off or within passing off claims. And what we mean by consumer research in most cases is market research surveys. So what will happen is that to to prove the perception of consumers, they will use market research surveys to say whether or not they would be perceived to have be the likelihood of this being the same. And so generalizations that I've found so far is that within the U.S., it is voluntary and it's not needs to be administered as evidence, but it seems to be almost mandatory. So in pretty much most cases, it seems to be coming out, whereas within Canada, it can be seen in some cases, but it's not something that you're going to see in every case, or it's something that's almost quasi-mandatory. All right. How many for time? Okay. So one more minute. So this is what I did, talked about. So the last one is the mobile communication, so I can talk about it a little bit. It's comparing the four regimes. Like I said, it's out of order just because we did go over this. One of the main, I'll show you the same comparative approach, but the main thing that I wanted to point out here is that there's two countries, so Australia and Canada, seem to be employing a separate actor from the state, but is actually a mandatory actor, whereas the US and UK is voluntary. So within Australia, it's the TIO, and within Canada, it's the CCTS. So it's actually funded by the industry. It's mandatory for them to go through their complaints resolution for telecommunication sectors. So I tried to spit out as much as I could in a fast amount of time. I know it's a lot there, but I'm anticipating a lot of questions.
I have direct Ireland to ask the first question or make the first comment.
Thank you, Lucas. This looks like a really good start, and there's some things that I liked, and there's just a few comments and issues that I'm going to give to you that you might want to consider, either for this research or where this research might go in the future. First off, I really like your regime approach, including non-state actors. That won't come as a surprise to this guy. One thing you might want to consider, it actually is the first presentation today, is the extent to which differences in terms of consumers are also non-state actors in all of these processes. And the differences between countries with respect to how active or not active consumers are in following up on complaints along the lines we were talking about in the first presentation may be something that will explain some of the differences that you find. Secondly, I think all four of these jurisdictions have links between consumer protection, misleading advertising, and competition and other laws. And it would be interesting, particularly in Canada, misleading advertising is in our Competition Act. The FTC has, in the United States, has both consumer competition. Australia, it's the Competition and Consumer. Competition Act has some very, very powerful tools that could be used to go after deceptions of various kinds, and these are all deceptions. One thing you might want to look at, or at least for the future, is the extent to which the use of competition and other kinds of statutes are being used to strengthen the ability of state and non-state actors to be able to improve things. Final point, based on some research I've been involved in over the last number of years, is to ask the question whether or not the differences between these jurisdictions are actually causing causing frictions, problems, gaps, etc., from the point of view of consumer welfare in the two countries, or perhaps in all countries, and consumer detriment, the overall social welfare aspects of differences and so on. Otherwise, I think you're off to a good, very good start, and I'll look forward to seeing some of the future products.
Thank you.
Hi. So my work is mainly in consumer complaining behavior, and in particular in telecom, and I sit on the CCTS board, so I have all sorts of things. But I just wanted, in terms of the questions, one of the things that I think might be interesting is that Australia has an incredibly strong ombuds culture that we in Canada don't necessarily have, right? So we have OBSI and CCTS and a few other industry ombudsmen. So I would be really interested to see whether, again, going back to Derek's question, whether the differences in legal cultures and perceptions actually push consumer protection forward or not, or push it backwards as well. Mm-hmm. And also, I would like to see your slides, because those diagrams are really cool, but they're very, very tiny. So,
just so that for the record. Thank you.
Thank you.
Merci. I'm André Allard from Consumer Protection Office in Quebec. And I just want, because I wasn't able to read everything on your slides, it was written so little, but I think your references are good in terms of comparative laws and see how different jurisdictions address different problems or same problems. But in Canada, as you may know, provinces has a lot to do in consumer protection and did a lot in consumer protection in the last many years. Specifically in terms of telecommunication, as you may know, we did address this question in Quebec and other provinces did so, as well as the CRTC did a code recently, and if I may say so, based for a large part of what we did in Quebec. So I believe and invite you to see and look at what is going on in provinces. Even amongst provinces, there are many differences in terms of how jurisdictions do address the same problems. So my little contribution here would be to suggest you to look at what is done in different provinces in Canada.
Couldn't get enough. I just had a quick question for you. I really enjoyed your presentation, in part because I did a little bit of research a few years ago on cyberbullying privacy rights. And I'm wondering, do these regimes differ in how they treat child consumers or youth consumers, or are they applied across the board regardless of one's age and vulnerability? And this was in part prompted by your comment, because Quebec has been leading the way in many respects on that front.
This is at the start of my research. I have noticed that there are certain jurisdictions that do have either voluntary or state-run codes in relation to child advertising. I haven't been able to fully isolate that as an actor across all four. But, for example, in the U.S., one of the things that provisions that they do have in place regarding privacy is because of children, as well as advertising. So I think from their standpoint, even though they're lax, it seems to be on other aspects. They seem to be on par for children.
Thank you, Lucas.
Thank you.
If you have more questions, I invite you to ask them to ask them during lunch.
Comparing the instruments and that sort of thing.
Thank you.